Right. First of all, welcome everyone. Believe it or not, I believe you have everyone who's in this room this morning, there's a reason why you're here. And we have the doors open, so please leave the doors open whilst we're talking, because it's a brilliant opportunity to do this on Saturday, not on Sunday. The reason being is because the centre's closed on Sunday and we can't get everyone here, and we thought we didn't want to exclude anybody, so we thought we'd just move the day and celebrate. So this is our Easter service. Right, so here's our clip.
Risen today, hallelujah.
Easter Sunday. You remember the Sunday school version, right? The tomb was found empty. Jesus conquered death. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords had triumphed over everything. This moment was everything, and it is worth celebrating. But at the time, not everyone was rejoicing. In the hours and days following the resurrection, some people were having a hard time grasping the reality. Mary, she was found weeping at the empty tomb, afraid Jesus had been stolen. The disciples? They weren't out in the streets shouting the good news. They were holed up in a room, hiding out, afraid. Two disciples walked back home to Emmaus, discouraged by the events they'd witnessed. The resurrection happened, but somehow afterward, life looked a whole lot like before. But perhaps it's not so hard to understand when we turn the mirror on ourselves. Maybe we celebrate the resurrection, but don't yet have the hope and joy that comes with it. Maybe like Mary, we're weeping at a tomb of grief, unaware Jesus is standing nearby. Maybe like the disciples, we're huddled inside a room of our own fear, unable to see Jesus is present and ready to show himself to us. Maybe we're walking a road of discouragement, like the men going to Emmaus, while Jesus is right there, ready to talk with us. Even when we don't recognize him, Jesus shows up for us anyway, because the absence of Jesus in the tomb means the presence of Jesus in our lives. That's life after the resurrection. That is Easter.
So I just want to just give you a basic understanding. Jesus claimed that he was the Son of God, and to prove it, he said that I will die and I'll rise again. And he did. The evidence of his death and crucifixion is so overwhelming that even the skeptics say the man died. And there were over 500 believers saw him at once, and the evidence of that is phenomenal, and skeptics do not have an answer for it. They do not have an answer for having that much evidence that he rose from the dead. Us as Christians live with that understanding that he has risen, which is absolutely phenomenal. The only person in history to conquer death, and he claimed that he would, and he did. And we have testament, which means we have proof in our lives that our lives have been transformed. If you don't have that proof in your life, that means there's a transformation waiting for you to encounter Jesus. So, I need some volunteers. As you can see, it's classic, Chris, A, B, and C. What I need people to do, Kieran, I'm going to ask you first. Can you go and take chocolate from A, chocolate from B, and chocolate from C, and I want you to tell me which is the best, which is the worst, which is whatever. Could I Emma, could you do the same? Yep, fantastic. Come on, Lizzie, you do the same. Anyone who's not chocolate, anyone who's able to eat chocolate, please come up and have a go. And I want you to tell me what you think. Come on, Rob, I know you like chocolate. I want you to tell me what you think, which is the best, which is the worst. So come in, grab some chocolate. You can even take some chocolate to a friend. As long as you tell them which pile it was from and they trust your hand hygiene, it's fine. Come grab some chocolate. Right, okay, cool. So I want you, so you need to know what you've taken from. Try not to look. Try and just use your taste buds. And tell me what you think is the best, what you think is the... Come on. So... Come grab some chocolate. Come, I should have some music for this, shouldn't I? Where's my phone gone? Okay, so if you've got an answer, put your hand up. Come stand over here. What you think is the worst, what you think is the best... Linda, you have a good palate. Come on, Linda. Come on, Linda. I want you to tell me what you think is good, what you think is rubbish. I need to know. Come grab some chocolate. You're going to have to do it again. Right. So I should have got some water as well. We should have some water, shouldn't we? That's some water at the back. Come on. Oh, some water by me. Fantastic. Righto. Righto. So we've got a light out here. It's dark. Is there a light out here? Thank you. Thank you. Ah, thank you, I can see now. Right, okay. Rightio. So, you can stand up here. Yeah, where's the microphone? All right, Joe. Actually, no, I don't need to. I can get a show of hands, can't I? Right, show of hands. So, if you see... I'll move this stuff out of the way. Right, yeah. So, you're going to have to take these guys' word for it. Right, so hands up who thought A. Was A the best, the worst, or the middle?
Middle.
Worst.
A's
A's the worst. Okay, cool. What did you think of B? Worst. Okay, worst. What did you think of C?
Middle.
Best. Best. Hands up, who said it's the best?
Middle.
Middle. Hands up, who thought B was the best? Hands up, who thought A was the best? Oh, fantastic. Okay. Go sit down. Go sit down. I'll give you the scores in a second. Well done. I love the way you had everyone. I think you need. Do you not take some? You take some back. Beautiful. Okay. So, just so you know, A was the cheapest chocolate you can get, and it's not even called chocolate, it's chocolate flavour. B is Cadbury's, and C is Lindt. It's the most expensive chocolate I could find. You're not supposed to read it, you're supposed to taste it. It wasn't a reading test, it was a tasting test. Right. It's really important in life I use this as a demonstration that in life we can have what is false to believe what is true. We can believe what is real as being true, and we can struggle with the truth. Let me recap that again. We can believe what is false to be real and true. We can believe what is real to be true, and we struggle with truth. And I used it as a taste sensation because I thought it's going to stick in your memory a bit. We can look at ourselves in so many different ways because we all have different journeys of life. I can guarantee you if I did a snapshot of your life when you were like 13 years old. Oh, okay, I'll leave it. It sounds okay, yeah? Cool. So, if I took a snapshot of your life when you're about 13 years old, I can guarantee you your snapshot will be very different to everybody else's. Or it'll be a different slice. Again, if you were 5 years old, I could do a snapshot of your life at 5 years old, and it'll be very different again. I could do a snapshot when you're 20, and be very different again. So we have lots of different life experiences in the room. And those life experiences are going to tell us who we think we are. And it can be a false identity. Sorry. Simon, could you just do this for me? I can feel it going... Just putting on my little diffuser. Cool, excellent, fantastic.
You do need to stop talking about it, otherwise it won't forget.
Thank you, Simon, for your words of encouragement. I'm just going to use my notes. I don't normally use my notes, but I want to use my notes because I want to be... There's a reason why I don't have notes. The only page not printed out. I love that. Okay, here goes. Let's go for it, the Holy Spirit. You can have a wrong perspective of who you are, your identity. You can think that you are someone that is unworthy. That means has no worth. You have no worth. You're just disposable. You are just a commodity to other people. You can think that you are full of shame, that you're wretched, that you're fearful, that you're poor, that you're full of guilt, that you're a failure, that you're a victim. And we can believe these things as the true identity of who we are. And I have this opportunity in one of my jobs I do, being a life coach, where I talk to people about who they think they are. And some people, without using these fancy words, will use words to describe the fact that they think they're worthless. That they feel like they are just dirty. That they feel like they're just a failure. That they feel that there's always... If there's anyone who's going to get picked on, it's going to be them. And they have the victimized personality that's also almost attracts all this rubbish. Now that is actually a false identity. That isn't who God's called you to be and who you are. That's A. That's the false chocolate. That's the chocolate that doesn't actually have what is not even what it says on the tin. It's not even chocolate. That's flavour. And we could and your circumstances could make you feel that way. You could feel it from external factors, how you've been brought up, how you were at school, all those things. I could talk social stuff, all that stuff that come through. You can think those things about who you are. And out of those things, you can then claim things that are real. You know? I have addictions. I'm an alcoholic. I'm angry. I'm violent. I'm a thief. I'm cruel. I'm manipulative. And you can use what a false identity says that you are, and you can move into an unreal identity. The reason why you think it's real is because you've got the evidence for it. Because you go into people's lives and you break them. Or that you are so scared of not having enough. You go into becoming a thief because you just desperately need stuff. And you class yourself as a thief because of your unreal identity of not having enough. Does that make sense? You move from a false identity to thinking what you are right now is real. And that's not what the Bible says about you. Our society will tell people who they are by how much they earn, how educated they are, what their background is, things that they're addicted to. Our addictions are generally things that try and fill the false identity of who we think we are. That's a big generalization, by the way. I'm not overgeneralizing it, but I'm just trying to squeeze this all in into a really big statement. And then there's truth. Who you've been called to be. Now that takes faith. And it takes revelation. And that takes boldness and bravery. Because unless you acknowledge the stuff that you have thought about yourself as being untrue and not right, and your false reality, you can't come to a place of change. But Jesus. And so today or tomorrow, Easter Sunday, It's all about you. It's all for you. He did it all for you. He didn't need to prove it for himself. He knew who he was. It says when he was baptized, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." That shows he comes from Lee Park. Well pleased. Yeah? He knew who he was. But he died for you. So tomorrow's all for you. The question is, are you bold enough to hold it? Because he wants to tell you who you really are. And I want to go on a little journey with you this morning about, do you dare to think, to hear who God says you are? Is that okay? You've gone very quiet. Yeah. All right. Can you read that? What does it say, Mark?
Brain surgeon, RRNP.
RRNP. I'm a brain surgeon. Why? Because my label says I'm a brain surgeon. Do you believe I'm a brain surgeon? No. Whoa! Top it now. I've got a badge that says I'm a brain surgeon. RRNP means I'm a really, really nice person. I'm not a nice person. I'm a kind person. I'm not a nice person. I'm kind. I'm not nice. We'll talk about that later. So just because I've got a badge on it and I want to be it and I strive to be it and I fake it, I fake being a brain surgeon, I could wear all the gear. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Wear all the gear. I knew a neurosurgeon, Mr. Gray. Lovely guy. Could you imagine going up? So, okay, let's get the funny... Oh, I'm off again. Funny gas, let's get all the funny gas and we'll just open up your head. And you're going to, no way, Chris, we're not, even if you've got a badge, I'm not going to believe you. But I want to be one, doesn't make me one. So I want to, stop it. I want to be one, but it won't, I want to be one, but it doesn't make me one. Even though I want it really badly, Anne, to be a brain surgeon, it won't make me it. Shania's gone. She's gone. This one says...
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. Oh, my word. Do I have this every day at school? At school, I have kids coming up. You can trust me, sir. They can trust me. I have it all the time. And I talk about how to validate who friends are. It doesn't matter how often you repeat it. I'm a trustworthy person. The only time you know someone's trustworthy is if they prove it. That's it. The fruit is it. You can tell people that you are, I'm a kind person. But if you act not kindness, you're not a kind person. If you say, like, tell me, look, I'm here, I'm a confident. Tell me what you need to tell me. But if you can't hold integrity, you're not a person of integrity. And I say this a lot because you have people who speak and want to be somebody, but they lack the capacity to be it. And they will tell. And I said to my children this: if anyone comes up to you and they tell you who they are first without having proof, hold back, because they have to prove it. Yeah?
Christian.
It says, my label says I'm a Christian. Woo! I go to church. I have a cross. I know the Bible. I know preachers. I'm a Christian. That's about as much saying I live in a garage makes me a car. A Christian is someone who follows Christ. Amen. And is a disciple. And you should be able to know that they're a Christian even before they tell you. People come up to me and they say, "Sir, why are you so joyful all the time? Why are you so happy?" And I said, "You got it right first time. I'm joyful and I try to be joyful all the time. I'm not always happy. I try to be, why? I try and live in a place of joy. Why? Because Jesus says that he is one of the fruit of the Spirit. When I am in a place of joy, I operate in goodness. If I operate in a place of worry, no one's blessed by me. If I operate in a place of fear, everyone is an enemy, and I will activate. If I operate in a place of being a victim, I will see everything as a threat, and I will close off. As a Christian, God says to us about having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, right? And that's and there's more than just the nine. Oh, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control, Lord Jesus, that's a game changer. To be in control of yourself is a game changer. Why? Because your fear and the untruth doesn't tell you who you are. And the unreality of that doesn't make you operate that way. Self-control means, our Lord Jesus, I need to know who you called me to be. And out of that identity, you live your life. That's what it means to be a Christian. Not someone that has a Bible and is a joy killer. In fact, Christians are dangerous people. If you work in Subway, you'd find out that's the case. If you work in the school, you find that's the case. Work in the Beacon, you find that's the case. Everything's an opportunity. Why? Because God rules. And I get to live with him. Does that make sense? Where's my coffee? Mm-hmm. Go for it, Alan. Yeah. So difference between kind and nice. If I'm a nice person, it means I won't tell you the truth. I'll just let you be. If I came out of the toilet with my flies undone, really embarrassing moment, a nice person won't tell me. They'll just say, hi, Chris, how you doing? A kind person will say, Chris, check your flies. Yeah? Yeah, go for it. Grab a mic.
I was in an interview this week, and I got quite passionate. And the interview ends, and my friend and I, who went for the interview together, were driving home. So she is a kind friend. So we're driving home, and we're talking about a difficult situation, and she says to me, "And you know, I really love you. I just need to say that, like, when you and just, I know you're all going to nod, okay? When you get passionate, sometimes you're a little bit scary, and so that makes people feel a bit anxious. And so I think maybe that's some of the problem with this thing we're dealing with. So I'm a follower of Jesus, okay? So Jesus says the truth will set you free. Not only the truth of who Jesus is, but all truth will bring freedom. So I have an opportunity in that moment as a follower of Jesus. Do I get all defensive and live in fear and be rejected? And I have to make a decision in that moment. Am I going to be a follower of Jesus, or am I going to run off down this other road? And I need to follow you, Jesus. I need to hear what my friend who is kind is saying to me. And so I process it, and I think, obviously, that is true. That's kindness, the kindness of a friend calls out the things that trip us up, but they do it with love. That's kindness.
Absolutely.
How exciting. That's cool. So let's watch this and see what happens.
I'll put it on the sound. Right, so I want to show you this. Now, Mark, I might need you for this bit. Not that one. So, can you see what's there? All right, so we've got different awards, like high awards. These are like proper distinguished awards. Okay, which one stands out for you the most?
Oscar.
Okay, cool. Mark, which you must know a couple of those. So this one here, Victoria Cross. Victoria Cross is for valor. If you're in an, if you're in the army, if you're a navy person and you have the Victoria Cross, the ribbon is blue. That's the only difference. That metal was actually metalled from a cannon that they seized, they think, in from Russia. I just want to tell you a little bit about details about this because it's really interesting. Okay, so Victoria Cross. There has been 1,358 times that's been given. 1,358 times it's been given. To 1,355 people. Which means there's a difference of three. Because only three people in history have won it twice. One was Captain Charles Upham, who was a New Zealander. And the other two were surgeons. Both all of them were captains. Now, the difference between those two, one is awarded for vanity. Bit of a harsh statement, but true. Mm-hmm. And the other one is for valour. Don't mix them up. One is awarded every year. The rich and famous come in and they get dead excited with a piece of man, a man-sized statue, that's a bit sad. And they get there and they think, when they get it, they win it. There's a great clip, I won't show it, there's a great clip with Matt Damon who wins the Oscars at the age of a young age for Good Will Hunting. Takes the Oscar, puts it on the table, sits back after the big award and thinks, is that it? Is that it? It doesn't fill the hole. The Victoria Cross is completely different. You don't go out to get that. You just do it. You do it because it's the right thing to do, not the easiest thing to do. They do it because of its bravery. They do it because they can't bear to see someone suffer and die. And they go over in gunfire and they get shot and they carry the wounded back over to Emily and back to the home lines and it gets reported. Most people who win the Victoria Cross don't tell people. They don't like showing it off. The guy Charles Upham, who was a farmer, sheep farmer in New Zealand, didn't like talking about it. But they couldn't ignore it. Jesus did this for you. But it's a different shape crossed. It's like that. He's done it for you. He paid the price that you may have fullness of life. I love this story, and I'm unashamed of telling it. So in the Bible, I'll put it on this one actually. Excuse me. You get to see my images now. So in Luke 23, it says, there is written a notice above him which read, King of the Jews. One criminal was hung there, held insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Hello, darling. Thank you very much. My treasure. I get to see it. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. This is a criminal on the cross. He's dying. They're hurling insults at him. He's just thinking about, I need to save myself at all costs. I'm going to get Jesus to do something for me. Jesus can do something for me. That's enough for me. The other criminal rebuked him, which means shut up. Shut up. Don't you fear God, he said, since we're under the same sentence. We are being punished justly and we're getting what our deeds deserve. As for this man, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Something really, really, really important. The second criminal, he didn't say, I'm really sorry for what I've done. He didn't say, I'm really sorry. He owned what he had did. He owned it. He said, I'm getting my deserts. I'm getting what's due to me because I'm a thief. I'm a criminal. So he wasn't saying, get me out of here. He was saying, this is what I'm getting. I'm getting all what's owed to me. I'm a criminal. I deserve to be here. Jesus wants you to own it. Jesus wants you to own who you think you are. He wants you to say, actually, me as a person, I need to understand who I am. But your identity isn't locked up into that. And I just want to give you a little reason why. Two illustrations. You heard of the man Moses, haven't you? Moses, man, long beard, two tablets. iPhones were around then, two tablets. Comes down. When God is talking to Moses, he's asking Moses, Moses, I'm going to pick you to go to Egypt to speak to Pharaoh. Moses' response is, can you pick somebody else, please? Pick somebody else, please. Because I stutter. I have failing lips. So he looked at who he was. The truth was, yes, he did stutter. Yes, he did have failing lips. But God still wanted to use him. And he said, please, can you send someone else? And God got a bit antsy with him. He said, no, I'm not. I'm sending you. So when we look at our real identity, we can think, I am a failure. I am not academic. I am not. I have issues and problems in my life. I have victimized spirit. God says, I don't see that. I see what I've put inside you. God calls us masterpieces. Masterpieces, he calls us. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, it says. Gideon. You heard of Gideon? Gideon was a guy in the Bible. He was angry. He was an angry man. He was angry because the Midianites came in and stole all their food. And so he's depressed. So he's making bread, as you do when you're depressed. Make bread. The angel of the Lord shows up and says, valiant warrior. He's like, dude, you're talking to me. I'm not a valiant warrior. I'm an angry man. I'm an angry man. And I'm the least in my family. I'm the youngest. I'm the least in my family. And you calling me a valiant warrior. Can you see what God does? He takes what you think is a false identity or a real identity, which is false, and he turns it into who he's called you to be. I can say that people in this room have had a revelation of who there is, of who they are in Christ. For me, I had a journey. If you want to hang out with me, you get to know my journey. You can have a bit if you're allowed some. I won't say anything. Where was I? Yes. But my identity is I'm a spirit-led. It's lovely. Yeah. Oh, is that really? Can I get back to you later? It's a bee. Superb. High five for me. Really? Can I give it back to you afterwards? Can I give it back to you afterwards? Oh, cool, fantastic. Hold on to my hand. Precious. Jesus says that my identity is that I am a Holy Spirit-led pioneer and liberator, which means I live by the Spirit. You know that. I come into places and cause a little bit of chaos with a lot of love. I'm a pioneer, which means I don't care if it's not been done before. It's possible. Yeah? And I'm a liberator because I want to see people set free. So whenever you see me, you can see one of those things in action. And when they're in action, you know that's who I am. I am not an administrator. Just wanted to recap on that. But your journey's different. My heart is that you get to know who God's called you to be. Because God's called you. The man on the cross owned it. I am a criminal. I deserve to be here. We all deserve to be at the cross. There's no one perfect except Jesus. But we have the ability for Jesus. You can have it back now, darling. Last thing, and I'll close. When Jesus was on the cross, he said this Greek word called tetelestai, which means it is finished. He said, he cried out in a loud voice, it is finished. The thing about Greek is that it has different meanings for different things. It is finished means four things. The first thing, it is finished, means your debt has been paid. Which means, as people who've sinned in life, Jesus cried out, it's been paid for. Why? By my blood. Which means you can have a relationship with God without having to be religious and go through ceremonies and go through a priest or go through legalism. But actually, you can speak to Jesus one-on-one. And he said, it's paid for. It's a bit like having a debt. When you've got a debt and you owe £10,000... tetelestai, someone's paid it for you, they give you a receipt, it's paid for, done. So it's a financial debt. Another meaning for tetelestai, which means your sentence has been served. It means you do not need to go to prison anymore, which means the sentence has been served. When they said tetelestai, you've paid your due, Jesus did it for you. And that is eternal life. You have eternal life in Christ Jesus, which means it's been paid for. You're not going to hell. Jesus cried out, it's been paid for. Your sentence has been served. And the last one, tetelestai. If you were a warrior on the battlefield and the battle has been won, you grab a flag and you shout at the loudest voice, tetelestai, which means the battle's been won. Victory is here. And Jesus was victorious over death. Tetelestai. And the last one is a theological word, which means salvation. You're saved. Jesus said this, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, means telling it that they're all wrong and sinners and are going to hell. He didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world through him. For whoever believes in him, that word believe, by the way, isn't the fact that I believe in God, because the devil believes in God. The belief word there means I follow God as my Lord and Savior, as I make him king, because he's King of Kings. That belief thing is I believe to follow him for the rest of my life, not I believe that he exists. Whoever believes in him, believes... whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. So my offer today is this, is you don't have to have it all understood. You don't have to understand it and button it down. But as you experienced this morning with the worship, with the friendship coming in, with my talk, if you feel, and I believe you have felt, something spiritual, because you've been dead quiet, which means God's been working in your hearts. If you want to discover more about Jesus, then let me know. Put your hand up or come speak to me afterwards. And I'm going to pray. And I pray a prayer. That if you believe that you want to know Jesus because he's paid for it all, he's paid for your sin, he's paid for your debt, he's given you eternal life, that your identity is being broken isn't your real identity. Your identity is actually in Christ, which means you're formidable, which means God's going to call you into beauty instead of ashes. I'm just going to pray a prayer and then we can stop. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for King Jesus. Thank you for Jesus coming into our crazy. Jesus, you came into our crazy. You came into our life, came into the world. And you lived your life as a perfect human being. and your obedience, you came and died on the cross. And that was for us. That was for us. And Father, I pray, Lord God, there's parts in this room that are curious of you, wanting to know, who is this Jesus? I want to know this Jesus. I want to know what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a Christian, a disciple. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would come and draw close to them, whether it be now or whether it be when they're in the bed thinking before they go to sleep, saying, God, if you're real, if what Chris has said is real, show me. And I pray, Lord God, that you will show them. I pray, Lord God, there's people in this room who want to know Jesus now. Lord, you give them the boldness to let me know. Lord, we can go through a place of just praying a prayer. Father, we thank you for the gift you gave us at Easter, that you died and that you rose again.
Amen.
And you're coming back. Amen.